Well, today, we are so thankful that you are here and your family and your friends. I'm excited to share with you this word this morning. It's just been burning on my heart all week, and I'm just thrilled to share it with you as we continue in our series. Today, we're talking about characters of the Bible. And we have been doing this series now for about 8 or 9 weeks on characters of the Bible. Well, we've been pulling out different Bible characters and not only talking about them, but looking at character traits or things that happen in their life that developed them. And we have had some great studies, and today is no exception, as we talk about Gideon's transformation. Gideon's transformation. Now, some of you today, you may not know who Gideon is. Some of you have heard of Gideon. If you're like me, when I was growing up, I thought Gideon wrote the Bible. Because everywhere I went, in motels and offices, I saw where Gideon had his Bible right there. And so I thought Gideon wrote the Bible. That's what I thought. So, but Gideon didn't write the Bible. But Gideon was a very important figure in the Old Testament times. And Gideon was, I believe, a lot like Barney Fife in nature. When we see him, as we study out his character traits, we see his original character traits was one of a coward, as one who was very timid. And even though we probably like to talk a big game, you know, when he had that one bullet there, he probably was shaking his hand. You know, he was right there. But man, he was a very timid in nature. As a matter of fact, as we study out this time in Scripture, we see where Gideon was probably the most unlikely person to be used of God. Isn't that how God works? Isn't that how God, he just loves to take the person who was so unlikely to be used of God and to turn around and use their life. And I wonder how many of us today have thought that thing, thought about our life. You know, I'm the last person God would ever want to use. And today, if you're here and you think, you know, well, I got a lot to give God and God wants to use, then you've got a lot to learn. Because God doesn't bring on the proud. He resists the pride. He resists the proud, but he always brings forth the humble. But even though the humble sometimes are not just humble, but many times they're fearful. And that's our thought in our mind, is we're fearful what God may ask us to do, or if God asks us, can I really do what he's asking us to do? And Gideon was in this place. The children of Israel were at the lowest point in the nation's history. They had already been delivered from Pharaoh's army and from the hand of Pharaoh and been set free, living in the promised land. But many years had passed, and now they found that the Midianites, isn't it just like the Midianites, the parasites and all those ites? We always, every time we find in the Old Testament something's happening against the people of God, it always seems to be some kind of ites. And so here we go again. The Midianites are the ones who have attacked the children of Israel. 135,000 of them have attacked them and drove them away from their homes. And now the Israelites in this particular village are driven out of their homes. They're living on the outskirts of town in caves, hiding. They're in hiding because the Midianites have came and taken over. And if they find them, they're killing their people and they're taking their crops and they're taking their food, taking their family, taking their possessions, and taking them for themselves. And so it's a very great time of despair in the children of Israel's life. We see where they're hiding, they're in fear, and Gideon is right there. Let's pick it up in Judges 6:11. Here's Gideon hiding, and it says this, that the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the tree, the oak tree, at Ophrah that belonged to Joash. Joash was Gideon's father. It says his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Now, out of fear, we see where Gideon is hiding in the cave. Now, if you've ever seen someone thresh wheat and study about this, they always did it in the open field because as they would thresh it up in the air, it would separate. And it would take away, you know, all the parts would be separated, and they can actually get the wheat separated from the crops. And so they would pick up, and the wind would blow away the chaff, and only what would fall down to the ground was what could be used. And the wind would blow away all the unused part. But we see here that they're in hiding to the fact where he's trying to separate the wheat enough to cook some meals for his family. And so he's in a cave. He's hiding in a wine press where there's no wind, and he's trying to separate the wheat here. Because can you picture how desperate he must have been? How much he must have really been in fear for his life, because if he'd been caught in the open field of trying to separate the wheat from his crops, that we would see that the Midianites could have spotted him, killed him, and took away his crops. And so he's in the cave. He's trying to separate it there. There's no wind. And I'm sure he's getting frustrated as he's throwing this up in the air. And he's having to separate it. It's this very, very tedious task. But because of the fear, they were in hiding. Let's pick it up in verse 12. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, and he said, the Lord is with you, you mighty valor, you mighty warrior. Some translations say, mighty man of valor. You mighty warrior is what it translates to. Now, let's just stop right here and get the laugh out of the way. I mean, out of all the people who you would think the angel of the Lord would go to, Gideon was the least likely. He came from the least of the tribe of the people. His family was the least likely. I mean, he was known as a passive guy so much that he was even afraid to walk out and try to even separate his crops on the outside. He was hiding in the cave, fear of being discovered. And so can you imagine being in so much fear, feeling like in so much depression, so much anxiety about what could happen to you and your family, and you're fearful, feeling so hopeless. You know, as a father, I can only imagine what he was thinking. You know, how am I going to get my family through this? Feeling so hopeless and despair. But yet, the angel of the Lord appears to him and says, hey, Gideon, hey, you're the ultimate warrior. Oh, yeah. I mean, can you just see it happening right there? I mean, this is just not a moment that really correlates with what was happening on the outside. Because on the outside, it was anything but Barney. It was Barney Five. I mean, he was shaking in the boots, okay? Andy, you out there. You know, he was shaking in his boots. But the angel of the Lord appears and says, hey, I see you, you mighty man of valor, you mighty warrior. I see you. Which brings us to our first point, that when God takes us through a transformation, he takes us through affirmation. He takes us through a process of affirmation. He will encourage you. God will encourage you. When he's transforming you, he will encourage you. He sees you for the person you can be. And this is a very hard thing at first, because when God's calling you to do something in your life, all the thing you can think about is, what is everybody going to think, man? You only see yourself for who you see yourself to be. I mean, you don't see yourself what God's calling you to be. Many times we look at ourselves and say, I can't do that. I'm not qualified to do that. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I can't do that. And God, you want me to do this? But many times when God looks at you, when he's transforming you, he looks at you for where you are, and he doesn't see you for the mistake-prone, sinful person who's gone through addiction, who's made mistake after mistake after mistake, who ran from him for many years. When he looks at you, he says, ah, I don't see what the world sees. I see somebody who can be transformed. I see a mighty warrior. Yeah, you may be shaking in your boots right now, but I see a warrior that is to come. I see the person that I'm calling you to be. And many times, that's how God is in our life. We think, I've disappointed God so much in my life. How could God ever use me? And God today looks at you and says, I see you for the person I called you at birth to be. I don't see you the way the world sees you. But let me affirm you today. I believe in you, and I affirm you today. I tell you what, when you get your affirmation from people, it only lasts for a short time. But when you get your affirmation from God, it will last eternity. I learned a long time ago, I'd much rather have props from God than props from anybody else. I'd much rather have God saying, well done, well done, way to go, way to be faithful, way to stick it out, way to do what I've called you to do, way to walk through that tough time in your life, way to do this by faith. When other people sometimes are throwing stones and saying, ah, let's see if we can break this glass house. God affirmed me, and I learned to get my props from the Lord. And as I learned to get my affirmation from him, it becomes a transformation starting point in my life. So today, if you're here, God affirms you. God affirms you. He looks at you and says, I see you for the person you're called to be. Notice Gideon's reaction when this happens. I love this. Verse 13. But sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Why are all the wonders and the fathers and told about when they, what's all the wonders and fathers had told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? And now the Lord has abandoned us. He's put us in the hands of the Midians. What Gideon's doing here is what we often do many times when God affirms us and calls us. Look at these things, the why, the where, the but. You know, why did God do this? Or why didn't you abandon us? And if this is true, but why didn't this happen? I mean, all these excuses begin to come up in Gideon's life. He starts saying, I know you're calling me, but you know what? where were you when things got rough? God, but why didn't you stop the Midianites from invading us the first time? But why, if, where? I mean, all these excuses begin to come out of him of insecurity. Verse 15, he said this, but Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. He's like, you're calling me to save Israel? You're calling me to be a great warrior? I come from the Manasseh tribe. It's like the weakest tribe out here. On Survivor, we'd have been voted out the first time. I mean, they would have been out there. His tribe would have been the first one gone. And Gideon may have been the first one of that bunch gone. I mean, they were voted most likely, least likely to succeed, okay? He's like, listen, this is us, but you want to use us. And I think this is always awesome. Many people miss God's plan for their life because they just can't see themselves in that role that God's calling them to be. Many of us miss God's plan for our life because we just can't picture ourselves in the role God's calling us to fulfill. We get scared or say, that's not me. God doesn't really want to use me. Does he know what I went through early on in my life? Does he know where I've been? God really doesn't want to use me that way. And God's trying to affirm you and transform you. And we make excuses up. But I love God's response in verse 14. It says, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? And then the Lord answered, I will be with you. You will strike down the Midianites as they were, but as one man. God was saying, it's going to be a cinch because I'm going to fight your battle. You're going to go. I mean, God's response to Gideon's weakness. Gideon's like, I can't, but what about this? But I can't do this. You know who I am? And God's like, yeah, I know who you are. And don't worry about it. I got you covered. I mean, I tell you what, there's nothing like being covered by God. When you know God is calling you and God has anointed you to do what he's called you to do, I mean, there is a power and confidence that comes with that. The second step we see here is God's revelation. God's revelation. Gideon had a personal experience with God. When God's transforming you, he takes you to a place of God revealing himself to you face to face. I love what happens here in verse 17. Let's read it together. If I now found favor in your eyes, this is Gideon praying, give me a sign that is really you talking to me. Please don't go away until I come back and bring an offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait for your return. So can you kind of get the picture here? This is kind of a comical picture. I mean, Gideon is not the brightest guy, okay? So there's a lot of hope for you and I, okay? Here's Gideon. He's in the presence of God. He's like, all right. So you're telling me this. You're from God, and I'm a mighty warrior. All right. Don't go anywhere, okay? I'm going to go back, and I'm going to fix you a meal. I'm going to bring it back, and if you offer and accept the sacrifice, then I'll know you're really God. And God's like, all right, I'll wait on you. Isn't that like us many times? The God comes to us. He's approaching us, and he's wanting to transform us. He's wanting to do a work in our life. And like, all right, God, but can you just wait just a minute? God, can you just wait just a minute? Let me go take care of a few things first. Let me go take care and come back. And then once I get this taken care of, and I know that you are really in this thing. When I know this is really you talking, then I'll believe it. And God's like, you know, na, 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 na. I mean, he's like waiting. I mean, how many times do we keep God waiting? How many times have we kept God waiting in our life? And God's wanting to do something in our life, and we're putting off excuses. We're doing things. And here's Gideon. He goes back, and he prepares his supper. In verse 22, it says, when Gideon realizes that it was the angel of the Lord, he examined, oh, sovereign Lord, I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. But God said to him, peace, do not be afraid. You're not going to die, because many times when the angel appeared, they didn't live through it. So he's like, you're not going to die. So Gideon built an altar, and he called it the Lord is Peace. And it stands there to this day, an altar that Gideon made to the Lord. And he named that place that the Lord is Peace. Why is it important? Because the altars represent, in the Old Testament, an altar representing the personal commitment to God. an altar. When they built an altar to the Lord back in the Old Testament, it represented that God met them there. And they made a commitment to God that they were going to change from that day on. And we see him building this altar, saying, I will always remember the encounter I had with God. I will always remember when the day the Lord came to me in my fear. I will always remember the day the Lord brought to me his peace. I'm going to notice this. You know why he called him? The Lord is peace. It translates Jehovah Shalom. I mean, that's what he called it in the Hebrew. Jehovah Shalom. And it translates the Lord is peace. Why would he say that? Because in his darkest hour, when Israel was in its darkest hour, they're hiding in caves, shaking in their boots, nowhere to go, thinking, what's going to happen to me and my family? The angel of the Lord appears in the presence of God and says, fear not, Gideon. You are a great and mighty warrior, and I will deliver you. I will deliver you. And he says, I'm going to build an altar, and I'm going to call this, the Lord is peace. What a bold statement in the middle of his fear, in the middle of his timid heart, that Gideon was crying out that the Lord is peace. Let me say to you this today. If you want to be transformed in your life, there's going to come a time before God ever brings you out of the valley you're walking through. When God brings you out of the circumstances, the battle you're going through, there's going to have to come a time in your heart, even though you may not see it with your natural eyes, you allow your spiritual eyes to say, you know what? My peace is in the Lord. My peace is in the Lord. I don't understand what's going to happen, but I know one thing. My peace is in the Lord. He is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, the Lord of peace. I mean, what a bold statement that Gideon's making here. I mean, you're talking about a statement of faith. He's saying, even though all this is going on around us, I'm at peace because I've had an encounter with God. I wonder in our hearts today how many of us, we don't have peace because we haven't taken time to really see God face to face. Have we really took time to really go beyond where we're at and say, God, I just got to see you face to face. God, I got to have your peace today. I tell you what, there's times in my life when I go through things I don't understand and I'm weary in my heart. I know that I've got to meet the God. I've got to find God. And it's one of those times that I find the Lord for myself. And when I do, I always come away with a sense of peace, a balance in my life of knowing that God will sustain me and God will bring me out. God will affirm you, but after he affirms you and calls you, then he looks at you and says, you know what? I want to give you peace. I want to meet you. I want to meet you face to face. He wants to reveal himself to you. The third step we see is Gideon's confrontation. And I think this is really the big one where a lot of us are at today, is God will test us. God will test you. When God calls you and he's changing you and he's transforming you, he will always put you through a test. He will always test you to see if you really are sincere about the commitment you're making. So the background of the story is that during this time, the oppression and depression of Israel, they were serving false idols. They were serving false God. Yes, they still worship God the Father, but they had allowed other idol worship to enter into their camp, to enter into their tradition. And so they had the altar of Baal, and they had other idols they had built. And matter of fact, they had become more of a sexual cult, that they had been worshiping these sexual idols and idols of this, and they thought this would bring them blessing, this would bring fertility, and this would bring prosperity. And they had all these idols set up. And of course, we know that Scripture is very clear that there is to be no idols above the Lord. We are to not have any graven image, any idol put before God. Look what happens in verse 25. Gideon's being put to a test here. And it says, that same night the Lord said to Gideon, take the second bull from your father's herd, one of 7 years old, and tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down Asherah, which was another god. Baal was a fertility god. It was the sexual cult, okay? And so then he said, to build the proper kind of altar to your Lord, your God, on top of this bluff, using the wood of Asherah that you cut down after the second bull as an offering. So he said, take down Asherah, just cut this out of all of you up. Then I want you to take that wood and burn it and tear down Baal, okay? And not just any idol. He said, take your father's. Now, you just got to put yourself in Gideon's place right here. I mean, this is coming against tradition. this is going against family tradition. These were just not lightly things they had sitting on the sink cabinet there above the sink. These were big graven images, and they were actually worshiping them, thinking that their power and their blessing came from them. They thought they were bringing protection, and so they were worshiping these idols of tradition that they had allowed to come in. And so this is a very serious test that God is telling Gideon, I want you to tear them all down. God will always test you. God will always test you. Are you really willing to go and do something different? Are you really ready to step out? When God's transforming you and taking you to another level, he's going to test you. Are you really ready to go to another level? He will test you. Many times he will test you, I believe, in three ways. First of all, he'll test you spiritually. Who's going to be God in your life? There shall have no other gods before me. That's what he's told to do. He'll test you spiritually. Are you really ready to put an idol before the Lord? And many times when God's transforming you, he will test you. He'll say, is that career more important or is my relationship with you more important? Is that possession more important or is your relationship with me more important? Is that thing that you really want to do more? I mean, he will test you. He will test you spiritually. He will also test you emotionally. I mean, can you talk about confronting the family? There's nothing like walking up with a chainsaw and just tearing down the family altar. I mean, you're talking about a lot of guts. You're talking about a lot of fear all wrapped up into one. He was taking on an emotional challenge. Can you imagine how emotionally challenging it was for him to walk up and tear down the altar of his father? I mean, that's a lot of guts. That's a lot of nerve, because you know what? He could be killed if he was caught doing this. They would kill him. Matter of fact, we'll see what happens here in just a minute. The third way God tests us, God may test you physically. Are you going to follow my instructions? He will give you instructions and details, and he want to know, are you willing to be obedient? Are you physically going to follow me, what I've called you to do? Are you going to try to bypass? Are you going to try to take a shortcut to where I want you to be? Or are you going to go through the steps the way I've told you to do it? Are you going to tear down a Asherah idol, tear it apart, get the wood ready, get it going, burn that idol, then put Baal on top of that and burn that down? Are you going to follow me to the T? Are you going to tear down your father's altar? Are you going to take some altar on the side of town nobody sees and knows what's going on? Okay, what are you going to do here? And so God puts them to a test in our life. How willing are you? Are you really ready to follow God? And we see this happening in the story. It says that when the men got up from town the next day, they saw the idol had been torn down. And they got up, and they can you see in the mob? You know, I can see the pitchforks and you know going after. Who did this? Everybody looking. It's Gideon. It wasn't me. And they go to Gideon's house, and the mob's going, "Well, Gideon, you know, where's Gideon? Come on, Joash, where's your son?" And let me tell you what happens here. It's kind of an incredible thing that happens. Here's Joash, knowing that his son could be killed for tearing down the idols. The mob's there saying, "All right, Joash, give us your son. Where's he at?" Now listen, this is Joash's idol, okay? This Joash is the one that's built them. Joash says, "Hey, just calm down. Yeah, Gideon tore it down. But don't you think if these idols are really God, they can fight for themselves? They really need you to fight for them?" I mean, what wisdom in those words, you know? Oh, yeah, that kind of makes sense. If these really are true, powerful idols, do you think they could take care of Gideon themselves? Do the gods really need you to take their revenge? And then Joash says, "You know what? We probably shouldn't even brought these guys in to begin with. We've turned our back on God, and we've allowed too much of this nonsense to come in, too much of this idol worship to enter in. We should go back to worshiping the one true living God." I mean, right away, we see where Gideon's obedience to do what God has called him to do, now his father is changing, and now his father is changing the rest of these men around him. Yeah, we should. Let's just do that. They begin to repent before the Lord and say, "Yes, we're going to get rid of all of our idols, and we're going to worship the Lord." And we see where something that really happens here in the next step that is such an awesome thing to happen. Step four, Gideon's transformation begins to take place right now. The transformation. And it says in verse 34, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon." Let's just stop it right there. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. You will always receive the power in your life. He will empower you when he's transforming you. Gideon's like, hey, let me tell you something. I was hiding out in the wine press. I was there in fear, hiding in the cage, just like all of us. I was shaking in my boots, but the angel of the Lord appeared to me, and I've had a transformation in my heart. God is calling me to do something. I'm not the same person I was. God's calling us to get down some of these traditions in our life. I wonder how many of us, when we are making some bold changes in our life, we've got to fight off family tradition. Some of you haven't been raised in church all your life. And then when you make a commitment to say, you know what, I'm going to put God first. Me and my family are going to be at church every week. We're going to get involved. You're going to have people who have other traditions who are going to say, what are you doing that for? You don't need to go there every week. You don't need to do this. You know, and you're going to fight some traditions in your life. You're going to confront some of these things in your life. But listen, God will always empower you. God will always empower you when you do it in faith. God empowered Gideon. He said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Gideon was transformed from a loser to a leader. Just like that, through the transformation process. God empowered him from a zero to a hero. I mean, he was going, man. And he begins to talk about what had happened in his life. And then he says, we're going to go, man. And he stands up and says, all right, I know you came to kill me, but listen, how many want to go and defeat the Midianites and take back our land? And they come and says, 32,000 of them show up ready to fight. All right, who's on the God side? We're going to fight. And God says, hey, Gideon, I know you stepped out of faith, and good job. You got 32,000 people here ready to fight. But he says, it's too many. All right, God, there's 135,000 of them. I've got 32,000, and you say, it's too many. All right. God, I'm going to continue to trust you. And so he asked, all right, how many of you, if you're scared, I will tell you right, if you're scared and fearful, I'm going to release you right now. Go home. How many know went home right then? How many went home? Scripture says that 22,000. 22,000 left right then. All right, see ya. Okay. We love the Lord too, but, you know, you released us. Good luck. All right, God, thanks, you know. 32,000 down to 10,000. All right, but God, you know, you're for us. We can still do this thing. 10,000 people, we can beat it, man. We can do it. And God says, yeah, Gideon, good job. But you know what? Still too many. God, this is my first time in charge, you know. this is the first army I've really led. This is the first rebellion I've really gotten, you know. 32,000. Down to 10,000. Okay. And you say it's too many. God, there's 135,000 of them. God says, yeah, still way too many. He says, this is what I want you to do. Take them down to the river to get a drink of water. And the guys who jump on their stomach and drink without looking to start lapping up the water, send them home. But the guys who very carefully continue to watch as they're getting the water, they're the ones trained for battle. That's the ones you want. Just the ones who continue to watch out for the enemies to get a drink of water. You use those guys. Do you know how many guys they had trained for battle? When it was all said and done, he sent home 9,700 guys went home that day. He was left with 300. So 32,000 went down to 300. Boy, this following God thing is really cool, isn't it? It's transforming, God. Whoa, wow, you know. Transforming us, God. We went from 32,000 down to 300. This is a great testimony. I mean, that's like odds about 450-1. Can you imagine those odds going into a battle at 450-1? All you military men know that that's suicide. You wouldn't do that, would you? You'd retreat. So when you do that, 450-1. They're not good odds, but God says, that's just the odds I need. And God gives Gideon clear instruction. He says, hey, I want you to take a clay pot, and I want you to take a torch in the other hand and a clay pot in the other hand and go to battle. God, are you going to breathe from heaven to make the fire go, shh? and burn them up. I mean, what's going to happen here? You know, he's thinking, what's really going to happen here? God, you know, you called us to fight this battle. You've given us a torch in one hand and a clay pot in the other. Wow. God, you're really transforming us here. Okay. 32,000 down to 300. We're going to fight 135,000 people with a clay pot and a torch. This is really smart, God. And we're going in the middle of the night so they can see us coming. This is going to be awesome. Hey, here we come. Here's my torch in the middle of the night. I mean, there's 300 of us. But God gives Gideon instructions. No, you take the clay pot, put it over your torch so they can't see you coming. And he goes, I want you to surround the city. So they, can you imagine these 300 men with their clay pots over their torches? And they go to the city. And Gideon says, when I give you the key here, we're going to shout unto the Lord. We're going to break these pots. We're going to shout because God has given us our city back. And we're going to stand still. And we're going to watch God move. They hid their pots over their lights. And when Gideon gave the sound, they shouted unto God, for God had given us. They shouted, God has given us the city. And they broke their pots all at the same time. Can you imagine 300 pots being broken all around the camp at the same time? It says that the Midianites woke up immediately, and they were startled, and they heard all the sounds, and they saw all these bright lights coming their way, and it confused them. And there was already a civil war brewing within the Midianites themselves anyway, and they got up, and they began to fight amongst themselves, thinking that the camp had turned, one side had turned against the other side, and they fought each other, and they killed, every one of them killed themselves. They fought the battle. And all the Israelites did was stand back here with a torch watching them. See, when God transforms you, when God does something in your way, he will always provide a way. Even when it seems foolish, even when it seems like God couldn't use you, with just a torch in a pot, God will always use what you have, and God will make a way, and God will always bring victory to your life when you allow yourself to be transformed. A great victory was brought back to the house of Israel. They cleansed themselves of all traditions and got back to spiritual renewal. Gideon was transformed in his life, became the leader God called him to be. Today we can learn a lot, knowing that God wants to transform us also. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. And I wonder today as I'm speaking, how many of you here today, maybe you just want to be honest with Pastor, as you're talking about being transformed, really, I just got to start, first of all, just by saying that I just need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in my life. Many people have made this decision that are here in this room with you. The most important decision you can ever make in transforming is just simply saying, Jesus, forgive me my sins. I want to live for you. Before you can go any further, you first of all got to make that first step. And if you're here today and no one's looking around but me, all heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I will not embarrass you in any way, but I want to give you a chance to make that decision today. If you're here and say, Pastor, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to make that transformation first before I do anything else. No one's looking around today. Can you raise your hands? That's me if you need to make that decision today. Raise it where I can see you. Raise it high. I want to give you that chance. Anybody here today, you need to make that decision. Second question I have for you today is this. Say, Pastor, as you're talking about being transformed, I realize that there's some things in my life that I need to confront. There's some idols I've built up in my life. Anybody hears that? That's me. As you're talking about idols, I realize I got some idols I've allowed, career, things I've done. I've kind of let God take a back seat sometimes to things. And as you're talking, I realize I've allowed some idols to creep up in my life. Anybody here today, is that you? Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, just raise your hand. That's you. Yeah, it's fine. Thank you. Thanks for being honest, guys. How about today you're here and you say, Pastor, I just need God to, I just need to have a revelation of who God is in my life. I just need to allow him to just have a face-to-face encounter with God. Anybody here say, that's me, Pastor. I just need that in my life today. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Maybe you're here today as Gideon was so much in fear. You hear and you say, Pastor, I just know that God wants to use me. I know that God has called me to do something different in my life, but I've allowed fear. I've allowed fear to stop me from being who God's called me to be. And today, I want to learn to let God transform me. renew my heart and take away all my fear. If that's you here today, you say, I want to get past my fear. Can you just raise your hand and say, that's me? Yeah, thank you. Several hands. I appreciate your honesty today, and I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. Today you're here, and maybe some of you need to hear this word, affirmation, because God affirms you today. That's what's so awesome about our God. You know, the world, they tear us down. The world will look at you and bring up all your mistakes, all your weaknesses, all your past things you've done. But when God looks at you, he looks at you and sees the person he's called you to be. He affirms you. He affirms me. And when I receive my affirmation from the Lord, it'll allow me to begin to walk without fear. Without fear. And today, I know many raised your hands for fear. Some of you raised your hands because you want to encounter with the Lord. Some of you raised your hands. And today, I just want to pray for you, especially those who raised your hands today. I believe today that God is wanting to transform us today as we allow him. Let's allow the spirit that he used with Gideon to be the same spirit to transform our lives. Father, today, I thank you, Lord, for the story of Gideon. Lord, how you brought the children of Israel. How you used the timid person from the weakest family, from the weakest tribe, to deliver the children of Israel and bring back to the house of God the right priorities, to tear down tradition, to tear down idol worship. And Lord, you used that person to step up to the plate and say, you know what? Let's serve the true living God. So I pray today, Lord, for those who raised their hands, especially those who maybe are fighting tradition in their life, who have family members who are fighting them about their commitment to God, about them coming to church, and they got people who are tearing at them, telling them they don't need to do that. I just pray to God, whatever it is, that tradition, whatever idol it is, our career, our hobbies, whatever it is we've allowed to get ahead of you, Lord, I pray right now, Father, that in our hearts we would tear those things down. We would tear those things down in the name of Jesus Christ today. We tear down any idols, Lord. I pray that for myself today, God. Any idol that would take away my focus from you. Any idol that would take away, Lord, that you being the number one goal in my life, the number one priority in my life. God, anything that takes the place of you, God, I pray that you continue to show that to me. Tear it down in my life. And God, take that thing away, Lord, that I may in return continue always, Lord, to keep you first in my life. May there be no idol that I put there, Lord, other than you. I pray today for those who are walking in the spirit of fear. But God, we know that for every day of the year, you told us to fear not. That's how many times in Scripture we can find the word fear not. I want for every day of the year. God, you've told us to fear not. And I pray today that, Father, we would lay aside all fear, casting aside all fear, that we can walk in your peace. We can walk in your love, knowing that if you transform us, that God, you will sustain us, that you will deliver us. Lord, you will take us to the place you're calling us to be. I pray that, Father, we lay aside our fears, Lord, of maybe what you want to do in our heart. We're fearful, God, if we say yes to you, what you may call us to do. And I pray to God we would not live in fear, but God, there is freedom in you. As we sung about earlier today, God, there is freedom in you. And my freedom in you simply comes by saying, God, I say yes to you and your will. Whatever you ask me to do, I'll do it. Whatever you call me to do, I will do it. God, transform my heart. And Father, I thank you today for your spirit and your word, which brings freedom to our lives. May we take this word and meditate on it day and night. And may we walk in freedom today, knowing that your word has set us free. In Jesus' name. Now let's raise our hands to the Lord. Can we do that together? Father, we lift our hands because we are free people today. And we say, Holy Spirit, transform us today. Transform our hearts. We lift our hands. This is a sign of surrender to you. Saying to God today, we surrender our heart to you. Lord, as Gideon gave his heart to you today, Lord, we give you our heart and our life and say, use us, God. In Jesus' name, we say amen and amen. God bless you today. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake a hand before you leave. We'll see you Wednesday night for men's and women's and students and children. We're having a house full every Wednesday night. Come back this Wednesday.